Okay, this week's parasha, Parashat Ki Tisa. Pasuk talks about Chera Egel. Paraglam about Pasuk Aleph. Kum Asilam Elohim. Kizem Moshe Ish. Made Lo Yadana Mayalo. We don't know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Emes Yaakov asks the question that so many asked. How is it possible that this nation that moments earlier said Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh V'Nishma goes so quickly from that to Kum Asilam Elohim or Elohim, make for us a God? Kfar Bira Kadmonim, like the Ramban, that this is, they have to explain that they weren't really looking for a God, they were looking for a Manhig, a Mashpia, etc. It's still not a great answer, he says, the end of Yaakov. So he says, in order to explain this, you really have to put yourself in their mind frame, and put yourself in their shoes. Imagine that you have a nation of Shishim Ribo Anashim, 600,000 people. Who's 600,000 people? 600,000 people is 600,000 males from the ages of 20 to 60. So how many people are we really? We're probably around 3 million people. Okay, a lot of men, women, and children, meaning old men, young boys, women, children. That makes it to about 3 million people. And they're all there in a desert with no bread and no water. And we know, Chazal tells Gemara Erevin, that sometimes being poor is what leads you to do the worst things, to do irrational actions. You can't explain why you did that. You were poor, you had to resort to it. You can't really judge the actions of a poor person. In other words, there the context a little bit sometimes of Avodah Zarah. Like, imagine if he's very poor and a church offers him free food, and they always proselytize, and they always talk to him about their God and everything about their religion, and they're like, wow, these people are really nice, they're giving me food and helping me out, and slowly it's gonna break down whatever barriers he might have, right? So that's the things people do when they're poor, when they're hungry. You can't judge, meaning they're not supposed to do those things anyway, but we really can't judge when they make a wrong decision. He says, imagine how much more that is compounded in their situation. He said, and now, okay, so now they messed up. All of a sudden we can understand. Why? Because they thought, why were they getting man? Mitzchot Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Satan comes and tells them, Moshe Rabbeinu, look, here's Moshe Rabbeinu. They thought he had died. So they had no bread left. They weren't expecting man. They have wives, children to feed. Like, what are they going to do? So therefore, right, and their kids are looking to them, Abba, I'm hungry, I want food. And you can't say, oh, don't worry, tomorrow we're going to have more food. And therefore, they needed a replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, when Chor says to them, wait for tomorrow, they kill Chor. And therefore, when Aaron HaKohen says to them, okay, give me your jewelry, they don't go home, they immediately pull out their earrings and nose rings and give it to him. He said, with this in mind, we can understand an important yesod about Chera Egel. Chera Egel, we know, was Choser Bitachon. It was a lack of amunah and trust in Hashem. The Navi Yecheskel uses the following pasuk. Vayam Rabbi Beit Yisrael b'midbar v'gomer v'etshabtotai chalulu ma'od. They were mechalel Shabbos, and therefore I wanted to destroy them in the desert. And I didn't want the chil Hashem of I freed them from Egypt and then I couldn't get them to Eretz Yisrael, so I had to destroy them in the midbar, meaning there was a chil Hashem risk. But he says, wait, what's that first line? They were Mechalel Shabbos, and so I wanted to destroy them. Where did we find that they were Mechalel Shabbos? We know we have stories about the Chilul Shabbos. We have Chilul Shabbos of the Mon, that they went to gather in the Mon, right? We have Chilul Shabbos in the Mikoshesh, who is either chopping wood or gathering wood, depending on the different Pharishim there on Shabbos. But Am Yisrael was Mechalel Shabbos to the point that we wanted to destroy Am Yisrael. Hashem wanted to destroy Am Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, because they were Mechalel Shabbos. Do you know a Chilul Shabbos story in Chedah Egel? Do you know Chilul Shabbos story in Chedah Meraglim? No. But yet, those are the two times where Hashem wants to destroy Am Yisrael. Chedah Egel finished. Chedah Meraglim finished. Did that involve Chilul Shabbos? So we have some stories of Chilul Shabbos, and we have some stories where Hashem wants to destroy all of them. Do we have any story where Hashem wants to destroy them because of Chilul Shabbos? That's the Eves Liachov's question. And he says, now with the soul that I presented to you at the beginning, we can answer this question. Because what is Shabbos all about? Shabbos itself is about bitachon, about faith in Hashem. It's about resting, right? Why are you able to rest? Because you have faith in Hashem that Hashem is going to provide for you even though you're not working today. So therefore, the first Shabbos, when they were in Marah, that was where Hashem gave them the bitter water and the bitter tree, and the two of them became sweet together. Why? Because if you're trying to use logic, logic says you want to eat, you have to work. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. Bitachon is Hashem is saying, trust in me. Don't work on Shabbos, and I'll make sure you have what to eat the next day. That's what Shabbos is all about. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people regarding the man, he says, Achlu hayom, eat your portion today. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow Hashem is going to give you more man. So part of the nisayon, part of the test of Shabbos was bitachon. Are they willing to eat their final portion of food rather than saving some, lest no man fall the next day? And therefore, since the ikar of Cheira Egel was this lack of bitachon in Hashem, what? All of a sudden, we think Moshe died, we think we're not going to get man anymore, we need food for our families. So all of a sudden they said, let's replace Moshe, let's make Cheira Egel. So everything at its core, the Cheira Egel was a chait of Choser Bitachon. Therefore, Cheira Egel is referred to by the Navi Yechezkel, says the Eves Yaakov, as a chait of Chilul Shabbos. Cheira Egel is a chait of Chilul Shabbos because it exemplified Choser Bitachon. Since Shabbos at its best exemplifies, keeping Shabbos at its best exemplifies having bitachon, and the chait of Cheira Egel was their lack of bitachon, Cheira Egel is referred to as Chilul Shabbos. And with that, he explains the pasuk in Yechezkel. And that's really what Shabbos is all about. And we know people, I know a Baal Tshuva who told me early on that his biggest nisayon was that he wasn't a wealthy person. He was he had a job that he, paycheck to paycheck, he worked. He had to do odd tasks, different things. And then when he started keeping Shabbos, so he was finding the money not making ends meet. And one of his former bosses, employers said, I have more work for you if it involves Shabbos. And he was really having crisis of faith. And he actually made the right decision, meaning he chose to not work on Shabbos, and slowly he started to get all sorts of work in the Jewish community, from the local shuls, from the local, everybody knew to support this guy, hire him to do, you know, what he did, all because he was the firm person in that trade, and they all hired him, and it worked out. He told me that he ended up earning way more than he used to earn. Okay, now I don't know that we always have the promise that you learn way more. We have a promise that if you have bitachon in Hashem, He'll make sure you have enough, even though you're not working on Shabbos. You don't need to work on Shabbos. In his case, it worked out with Shefa. You know, that's a big bracha that you should have. But that idea of this is what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is about bitachon. That was the big nisayon that our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents had in early 20th century America, was if you don't come to work on Sunday, don't bother coming back on Saturday, don't bother coming back in on, I guess, Sunday or Monday. Meaning, that was the big nisayon they had, and they had to have the emunah. And don't judge anybody who didn't have that emunah, okay? Again, we're not in their shoes. Anius, as we just said, means that you shouldn't be judging what decision they made. But that was the big nisayon. That's what Shabbos is all about. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a much more affluent time where, you know, our decisions to keep Shabbos really isn't what's, you know, making us go hungry or not, Baruch Hashem, for the most part. But we really have to realize that that's a very central part of what Shabbos is about. Shabbos is about understanding Hashem. This is an ode. Hashem made the world. Hashem's in charge of running the world. Hashem is the one who, in the end of the day, takes care of us. The fact that I'm not working on the seventh day means that the other 6 days I will have enough. And in fact, we say even further, the other 6 days are even more blessed because not working on the seventh day. So, shkach.